Blog Talk Radio.
Squeal! It's time to squeal. We got a very, very, very special show tonight. Here at Erie House Oldie Timey Radio, we are celebrating, you ready for this? Our 384th Erie House Old Time Radio Show. That's what we're celebrating. I'm Dale Kenny from Spook Show, here along with...
Really? 384th? Dave Binkley from We're Just Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One.
Yeah, it is, Dave. This is our 384th Erie House Oldie Timey Radio, but overall, the real reason we're celebrating is our 800th overall Erie House radio program. The first 50 or so, we were just here. Well, the first 40 or so, we weren't doing old-time radio. We were doing talk. And then January of 2017, we turned on the old-time radio programs. Oh, maybe one a night. And then after that, maybe 3 months into that, I think it was March of 2017, we started with Erie House Oldie Timey Radio. That's right, 800. And what else, Dave, is special about tonight?
Our second program that we present will be our 1,500th full old-time radio show. That doesn't include the commercials or the jukebox or the clips or the wheel, I should say. It doesn't include any of that. That's strictly full radio programs.
All different except for maybe a couple variations on War of the Worlds, which is our annual tour every October the 30th. I've already reserved vacation time for that week. I take the week off, man. So even when we're not doing stuff here, I can chill and watch monster movies and try to dress
there
up a dog
go.
Or something weird. But there's problems with Blog Talk. If any of you care to message us your email address, like we can give you a direct link. You can direct link in, or if you have an account and you log in, because some people have an account but they don't do shows here on Blog Talk. I believe you can direct connect that way as well.
I did send Gar, if you're listening in trying to connect in, I did send to your email a direct link. So
yeah,
because I had trouble calling in and I had to use a direct link, which I've been avoiding lately because it wasn't working real good when I quit using it. thanks, Blog Talk. Boy, if that isn't the most used phrase that we probably used on this show, Dale.
Well,
thanks,
yeah,
Blog
that's
Talk.
The edited version. There's a few things we say when we're not being recorded that have Blog Talk at the end of it.
It does, yes.
Yes. But you can just imagine that. We're not going to even infer what kind of a horrible freaking thing we'd say. Tonight,
two different shows.
Two are three one and one shows. Is one. So
right,
it makes a total of three.
Yes. Now I'm confused.
My work here is done.
Yes, this is another one of those where Dale will say it's part one of two or part three of one. You know, this is one of those nights.
What we're referring to is we have two parts from Chet Cheddar's Tales from the Morgue.
Always an interesting show. Always an interesting show.
Yeah, and one of the more modern ones, too, I believe.
Yes,
Chet Cheddar. And what else we got? Oh, a wonderful tale from Phil Harris and Alice Faye. The $800 smooch. Poor kid.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, really to celebrate our 800th, that should be one that that we start with tonight. Because either way, yeah. Chet Cheddar would have been the 1500th show.
Sure can't find it. Sure can't find it in the studio, Dave.
You can't. Wait a minute here. Where did the part go? One cast away. You can't. Oh, you can't. Well, that's silly. That's just plain silly. Just plain silly.
Ooh.
So,
CW understands what we meant. Look at the chat. Currently at her place of employment, so she is not able to contact with us direct connectly. Oh, AT&T is having nationwide outages along with other companies, network cyber attacks issues. Oh, uh-oh, we know. We know who's doing it.
Well,
it's those people on Pago Pago. I think they're
on Pago Pago?
Yeah, they're provoking the United States by interfering with Blog Talk Radio. That's Blog Talk Radio's excuse. I still blame them, AT&T or not. There you go.
Yeah, we could do that. We could do that. Because why not? Why not? That's all I got to say.
As why should we be making excuses for them anyway, hmm?
I you know, that's odd because I know they had a lot of trouble yesterday. And guess what service GAR has?
Uh-oh.
AT&T, yes, indeed.
Could be why he's not amongst the living right now with us or the broadcasting. But I sure wish I knew where Phil and Alice were hiding.
Well, it is. If you hit a refresh, you'll find the first one there.
All right. We can do that. That's easy enough. Hope you folks are enjoying our moment. See, you can tell it's our 800 show. We're so excited. We're nervous.
did you not find it?
It's nope.
Okay, I can kick it in for you.
Look in the audio files and see if it's really there.
It's I see it in the room here.
And it's completed. All right.
Yep.
And it's part one, right? Oh, there it is. I see it. I see it. I have
it. There you go.
All right.
There you go.
Now the rest of the show will go smoothly. We promise.
That's a good one.
Our promises are good for about $1.98, which might get you a cup of coffee these days in the right diner. All right, we can start with Phil Harris' show. It's entitled The $800 Kiss, generally broadcast.
Episode number 233 comes to us from January 18th of 1953.
RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents transcribed The Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is The Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevalier, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Ruth, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp in his music, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. Phil Harris may have a few faults, but one of them is not laziness. When something needs doing, he'll do it, whether he's asked to or not. He's not always a great help, but more about that later. First, a word from RCA Victor. At home or away, you'll have a world of entertainment at your fingertips when you own RCA Victor's smart new super personal radio. It's the handiest portable radio you can buy, no bigger than an average book. And it's so lightweight and compact, you can take it anywhere with ease. And tiny as it is, you'll find that with its room size, volume, and big radio tone, it's a match for much larger portables. But the advantages of RCA Victor's super personal portable radio don't end there. With new RCA Balanced Life batteries, it plays longer, up to 10 times longer than previous small portable radios. And its new battery lifesaver switch can add even more playing hours by letting the batteries loaf in strong signal areas. Enjoy music and your favorite radio shows wherever you go. Select RCA Victor's tiny new super personal portable for yourself or as a gift. It comes in a choice of six stunning colors, and it's priced at only $29.95 plus batteries, slightly higher in the far west and south. See and hear RCA Victor's long, long-playing, super-personal portable radio at your RCA Victor dealers tomorrow. And now the stars of the RCA Victor program, Alice Faye and Bill Harris. As you all know, this is the month for the March of Dimes drive. Alice is helping in her neighborhood to raise money for the National Infantile Paralysis Foundation. She's been out all morning collecting funds, and as we look in, she's just returning home.
Oh, gosh, it's good to get home. I'm really tired. Phil? Phil, where are you?
In my studio, dear. I'll be with you as soon as I remove my smock.
Smock?
And beret. Oh, I've had a grueling morning at the easel.
What are you doing with an easel?
I'm doing an oil painting. I'm having an awful time. Trying to capture the beauty and gorgeous coloring of my subject is practically impossible.
What are you painting?
A self-portrait.
Oh, you'll never be able to capture that much beauty, Phil. That takes an experienced artist.
Yeah, I guess you're right. That would require a Rembrandt or a Michelangelo or a Van Gogh.
Or the man who draws the cats and jammer kids.
Never mind. I think if I keep at it, I'll manage to get it myself.
No, Phil, you don't know anything about painting.
I don't know any... How long have you been with me, miss? I've never told you this before, but because of my artistic ability, they wanted me to play the lead in Moulin Rouge. That's the picture about that French painter, Toulouse-Lautrec.
That's too loose.
Not since I had it tightened. They wanted me to play the part instead of José Ferrer.
Oh, because of your painting ability?
No, because I've had more experience walking on my knees. I gotta stop drinking them short beers.
Bill, take that silly-looking smock off and help me count my collections for the March of Dimes.
Okay, hey, by the way, how'd you do today?
Well, not as well as I had hoped. I had a goal of $1,000, and all I got was about $800. Do me a favor, Phil, and count the money while I go inside and put my slippers on. I have to turn it into the foundation this afternoon.
Okay, honey, go ahead. I'll count it for you. Hey, there's quite a wad of green stuff here. I haven't had 800 bucks in my hand since Come in.
Hi, Curly. Oh, look at that chlorophyll tissue paper. Where'd you get it and how much you got?
It's $800 and I got it from Alice.
Oh. What'd you do with her body?
What body? She ain't dead. This is money that she got this morning. She went from door to door collecting it.
With all her dough, she goes around panhandling?
She got it for a foundation.
Well, she could use a new one. She's getting a little hippie.
My wife is not hippie. She has a beautiful figure. She's just as slender as when she was 16.
Well, thank you, Phil. What made you say that?
I heard you sneaking up and back of me.
Hi, Alice.
Hi, Elliot.
Where'd you get all this money Curly's holding?
Oh, I collected it this morning for the Infantile Paralysis Foundation.
You did pretty good, didn't you?
Not good enough. I didn't quite make my quota. I'm $200 short.
Oh, don't let that bother you, Alice. I'll make my contribution to you right now. I'll give you everything I have in my pocket. There you are.
What a wonderful donation. A corkscrew, a bottle opener, a folding martini glass, and a ceramic cocktail onion.
That ain't a ceramic onion. It's a plastic cherry for old-fashioned. It's a little faded from submersion.
Elliot, I appreciate this, but, you know, it would help more if you gave some money.
You just happened to mention the one thing that I'm out of. However, I can help in another way.
How?
I'll contribute my talent.
Alice takes a faded cherry. Hey, honey, how come you didn't make your quota?
Well, I would have if it hadn't been for Miss Smith.
Miss... Who's Miss Smith?
Oh, she's some girl who lives in the neighborhood. You know, she got to all the men first and turned on the charm. Any man that makes a contribution, she gives him a kiss. Isn't that disgusting?
That depends. What does she look like?
Oh, she's a cute red-headed model with a lovely figure. But, you know, I think kissing strange men is disgraceful, and somebody should talk to her.
Alice, you're right. She needs fatherly advice, and somebody ought to... Elliot, wait for me! Come, hurry up, Daddy.
I'm going to be right with you, Pop. I'm right on...
Come back here, both of you. If I wanted to turn on the charm and act sultry the way she does, I could get more money for the fun, too.
Hey, you know how to act that way?
Are you kidding? I'll show you how easy it is for a woman to twist you men around her finger and get money out of you. What's this? A filthy boy. I'm here to collect for the March of Dimes. You're going to give me a real generous donation, aren't you?
You ain't getting through to me.
Now look, you great, big, handsome brute. If I were to give you a great, big kiss, would you give me a great, big contribution?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, why not?
Because you're my wife, and this ain't gonna lead to nothing.
Try it on me, Alice. I'm a weakling.
Forget about it.
Look, Alice, the trouble with you is that you just don't have a good sales pitch. Now, let me tell you something. You know what I could do?
What?
I could go out and in a half an hour double that $800 that you just collected.
Oh, that I'd like to see. Go ahead, Big Shot. Let's see what you can do.
All right, I will. Come on, Elliot.
All right.
You'd better leave that $800 here.
No, no, honey. That's too much money to leave lying around the house. I better carry it with me. Let's go, Elliot.
All right.
Hey, when I turn that Harris charm on them housewives, I'll have them giving me their old man's collar buttons, stick pants, socks, neckties. What a collection I'll have. Hey, Al.
Hmm?
How am I doing so far?
Not bad. You've been out for 2 hours, you called at 30 houses, you got 42 cents.
I can't understand them women turning me down.
Curly, why don't you give up? Go home and give Alice back her $800 and admit she's better than you are.
Never. Where I come from, they don't give up. The Nashville Nightingale has just begun to fight.
The Nashville Nightingale?
Also known as the Tennessee Titwillow. Come on, I'm going to try this house and show you that I can do it. Hey, now, Elliot, look. When this dame answers the door, I'm going to turn that Harris charm all the way up and give her a full blast. You know what I'm going to do with this one? I'm going to give her my dreamy closed-eye job.
What is that?
Well, that's the up-and-under kid with a Robert Mitchum float. That's it.
How do you do?
Darling, I'm here to ask you for something, and I know that you cannot refuse me. Can you?
You better stand back, lady. Fire's going to start coming out of his nose.
What can I do for you, boy?
Girl, you better open your eyes and look at this one. Okay. Look, miss, I... Dowie!
I'll be darned. Fire is really coming out of me.
Oh!
Does he always light up like that?
Well, you can't blame him. Hey, Curly, isn't she the most luscious redhead you ever saw?
Yeah, so exotic. She has a mysterious type of beauty. What's your name, miss?
Miss?
How Oriental. That's an Indonesian name, isn't it?
Must be. The name Smith is so romantic.
Yeah. Makes one think of moonlight on the Ganges, a sunset on the Taj Mahal, a rickshaw ride in Rangoon,
two bearded brothers on a cough drop box.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, you fellows are awfully sweet to me. But tell me, why did you come over to see me?
We're here to see you about a donation for the March of Dimes.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm one of the collectors in this neighborhood, and I'll be glad to take anything you want to donate.
Well, you see, miss,
I'm sure a great, big, handsome man like you is going to give me a great, big, generous contribution. Aren't you?
Now, she's getting through okay. Yes, I'll give a little something.
Oh, how much are you going to give, you beautiful, curly-headed rascal, you?
Would a curly $800 be enough?
$800?
Well, that's all I have now, but I'll raise more later, dear. But here, go ahead and take it.
Oh, thank you for such a wonderful contribution. You get a kiss.
Well, if you insist.
Oh, I do. Here's your kiss.
This is an $800 job.
I think you're wonderful, and I want to thank you on behalf of the March of Dimes. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Isn't she a lovely thing?
Yeah. I'm proud of what we just did.
Me too. What did we just do?
We just made an $800 contribution to a beautiful red-headed girl named Smith. When Alice hears about this, she'll... Oh, back to the drums. If you realize what I've done, I just gave that money Alice collected to her rival. I got to get it back.
Curly, you can't
but
do that. When you give something to charity, you can't get it back. And besides, she ain't going to give it to you.
Yeah, all right, I guess you're... But can't you understand? I can't go home without Alice's money. I got to raise $800 someplace. Now, I'll just have to go around and see if I can collect.
You tried that, Curly. You'll never get it that way. You'll just have to borrow it from someone.
Whom?
I know a guy. He runs a loan company. Come on, I'll take you over to see him.
Okay, somehow the thought of Phil Harrison going to a loan shark.
Yeah.
Phil
Harris and Elliot Lewis, which is his real name. There's a story behind that. When he went with RCA, somebody said, look, we created this back on the Jack Benny show. We own the rights to Frankie Remley. So therefore, you will pay us for it. And Phil said, no, we won't. And so they just let him use his real name, Elliot Lewis, instead of Frankie Remley.
They later got
the rights for it. In later shows, they got rights for it. But Phil wasn't going to be blackmailed.
And Guy the Ghoul joins us.
I do. Oddly, my internet and telephone are both AT&T. Why one would work and the other doesn't, I don't know. I should ask Phil Harris, maybe.
Well, I don't know. We were blaming Blog Talk.
Yeah, we were.
Because it's
well,
easy.
Well, we can also blame Blog Talk as well.
Yeah, because it's easy. There you go.
Yep.
And cheap. Yep. And you don't need permission.
Well, apparently we do. I'm not sure how that works.
Do we? We need permission to down speak bad about the Blog Talk? I don't know.
Well, to do it on live, we do. Yeah.
So this nailed me because my microphone and my setup is in one room. The morals are in another room. So I'm going to have to run over to where the morals are. Go, okay, let me read it, then remember it. Run back into the other room and go, okay, here's the morals.
Yep.
Or you could jot it down.
I could jot it down. I could. What's
as
this now?
Uh-oh.
Okay, this is something completely different.
Hi, CW. CW, are you there?
I don't know how this is going to work.
She's trying to group call, and I can't get it to work.
Okay. CW, are you there?
You'll need to allow... Here, hang on.
Allow I hear you.
There's a terrible echo.
Love that echo.
Is it really?
The question, CW, is we don't know if our audience can hear you.
I can't hear her. I can't hear her.
Dave's not in the call.
You're not on the group call.
Oh,
check your computer.
Okay.
Love
that echo.
I see.
We're trying all kinds of crafty ways to get you all here on radio. Hey, folks.
CW.
Let CW talk and see if our listeners in the chat can hear her.
Yeah, I think you have to access. I don't think we can get in that way.
Yeah, this isn't going to work, CW.
CW, send Dave your email, and he will send you an invite to a thing you can do in a different way to connect to us.
We have some incredible radio for you today. I just bailed out of a group call to...
Okay. Good luck, Al.
To keep this show rolling, more or less. The Russian or the Chinese. Perhaps North Koreans, who will prove out to be responsible. I still say it's the island of Pago Pago. But what do I know?
I frequently have lunch at the...
People, they're wonderful Pago Pagoans.
I frequently have lunch at Pago Pago.
Yeah.
Good pineapple.
Mm-mm,
they fry it for you on demand.
Yeah. Fried pineapple and fried coconut is not bad.
Isn't Pago Pago short for Rex roast beef?
I don't know, but I think Popeye visited there once and met some of the islanders.
I liked Rex. I liked Rex too. And Roy Rogers?
Are they still in business, the Roy Rogers? Because I thought they were gone a long time ago.
I think they're gone a long time. The one that was by me has been gone for, like, ever. But they had similar fare. And you could get a hamburger with ham on it. I mean, you had the burger patty, but they would put ham on it. It's great.
Isn't that un-American?
It's not only that, it's unhealthy, which is why I enjoyed it. We ought to wrap up.
That's right. You walk through the doors and you can hear your arteries hardening. That's right. Yeah.
That's heaven to me. That's heaven to me. Let's wrap up. The Phil Harris, Alice Faye. Oh.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, Elliot.
What?
I don't know about borrowing money from a loan company owned by a friend of yours. You'll probably want a lot of collateral, like my house or my car or my wife. I don't
know. No, not this guy. He doesn't ask for anything like that. I assure you, this is a legitimate place, and you have nothing to worry about. Come on, let's go in.
Well, it's a
cozy little cell. What kind of a place is this?
Welcome to the Helping Hand Loan Company.
Rogue, I don't believe I want to borrow any money from you.
I don't believe anybody asked you for your opinion.
Just take the money. Don't give me any arguments.
But, Grogan, I...
Take it. Take it on a trial basis. You take the money home. You try it for 2 weeks. If you don't like it, you bring it back, and we will cheerfully refund your blood.
You mean I have to leave my blood as collateral?
Just a gallon. You'll never miss it.
If I gave you a gallon of my blood, I'd be too weak to move.
That's the object. We don't want you running around spending our money.
Ridiculous, wanting my blood. I told you, Elliot. Come on, let's get out of here. What's the matter?
Nobody leaves here without money.
I'll tell you what, Harris. You're a friend of mine, so I will let you have the money without any collateral.
Well, that's different, Grogan, and I appreciate that.
Don't mention it. It's all right. Now, tell me how much you want. Don't be afraid to ask for as much as you need because we have an unlimited supply of currency on hand.
Well, I need $800.
You got it. Yeah? Two $400 bills.
I don't believe I've ever seen a $400 bill.
Well, naturally not, you schnook. I haven't put them on the market yet. It's our new spring line. You will love the feel of our bill. Here, just feel this one. Go ahead, feel it. It's dry.
Hey, it's nice and soft. What's this bill made of?
Cashmere. You gonna take it?
I don't know. Elliot, do you think the March of Dimes will get suspicious if I try to give them a cashmere $400 bill?
They might.
Come on, let's get out of here. So long, Grogan. We don't want to...
Hey, Curly. Now how are you going to raise the money?
How do I know? Hey, wait a minute. I got an idea. People pay a lot of money to hear me sing, so I'll sing right here on the street corner and raise the dough in no time.
You're going to sing on the street corner? You, the Chattanooga Crow?
That's Nashville Nightingale. Look, I'm going to sing. Now, you take my hat, pass it through the crowd, and take up a collection. Go ahead.
All right.
Won't you buy, pretty lady? Won't you try something new? Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jack, and Jelly Apple, won't you buy from me? Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jack, and Jelly Apple, won't you buy, you buy, won't you buy from me? Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jack, and Jelly Apple, won't you buy from me? Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jack, and Jelly Apple, won't you buy, you buy, won't you buy from me? Won't you buy, pretty lady? Won't you try something new? Won't you buy, pretty lady? They're all imported from the tropics, just especially for you. There's a little fella, always in the park, selling nuts and candy, happy as a lark. Chirpy as a cricket as he strolls along. Everybody loves him and his funny song. The peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jack, and Jelly Apple, won't you buy from me? Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jack, and Jelly Apple, won't you buy, you buy, won't you buy from me? Won't you buy, pretty lady? Won't you try something new? Won't you buy, pretty lady? They're all imported from the tropics, just especially for you. The popcorn, the Cracker Jack, the Jelly Apple, won't you buy from me? Oops, the peanuts, the popcorn, the Cracker Jack, the Jelly Apple, won't you buy, you buy, you buy, you buy, won't you buy from me? Won't you try, my pretty lady? Honey, won't you buy something new? Won't you try, pretty lady? They're all imported from the tropics, just especially for you. So won't you buy, you buy, you buy, you buy, you buy, you buy, 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 you buy, you buy, buy, buy.
Well, Curly, you drew a real big crowd.
Natch, Natch. Hey, Ellie, did you pass that hat around?
Oh, yeah.
How much did we get?
2 Canadian pennies, a beer cap, and a summons for disturbing the peace.
Well, you stopped with the kid, and I know I've done better than that. Now, let me see the hat.
I can't.
Why not?
Somebody stole it.
Oh, we're doing great. Now we're out $800 in cash and a $3 derby.
Looks like your voice ain't going to help us. We'll have to think of something else.
Hey,
Curly, I got an idea. That Miss Smith raised money by selling kisses, and she did pretty good. Now, whose kisses would people pay more for than hers?
Well, I... Mine! Why, of course. My lips will put that march of dimes... Kaboom! They'll have more money than they know what to do with. Watch this. All right, ladies, will you step in a little closer, you dolls? Right in a little closer, please. That's it, you pretty thing. Ah, yes, you lovely ones, you. Now, in order to raise money for the March of Dimes, I'm about to give you the opportunity of a lifetime. Now, listen closely, ladies. For the small sum of $10, you get a chance to kiss Phil Harris. How would you like to kiss Phil Harris?
I'd rather kiss a sick camel.
All right, kid, don't bother me. I'm selling kisses for the March of Dimes.
That ought to slow the march down to a crawl.
Look, buddy, we got no time for jokes. Now, this is for a good cause, and the least you can do is stop yakking and try to help me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Harris. If you're sincere, I'll be glad to help you. What would you want me to do?
Just this. I want you to address this lovely crowd and talk them into buying kisses from me.
That ain't gonna be easy. How do I go about it?
Look, it's a cinch. All you gotta say is this. Step up, ladies and gentlemen. Only $10 to be kissed by Lover Lips Harris.
Got it. All right, ladies, step right up. Only $10 to be kissed by Liver Lips Harris.
That's Lover Lips.
I ain't going to misrepresent the merchandise.
Look, kid, will you just sell my kisses? Now, look, we got a good... crowd around here. Now, just sell the kisses, will you, please?
Okay. Ladies, this is a chance that every woman has been waiting for. A chance to kiss Phil Harris. Now then, don't rush. Are there any young women who want to be kissed by Phil Harris? Any old women? Any old men?
Can't understand this. Gotta be something wrong with that kid's pitch. He can't sell nothing. Go ahead, Elliot, sell him.
Righto. Ladies, apparently you didn't hear this astounding offer. Why, this is the chance of the century. Isn't there anybody or anything? That wants to kiss Phil Harris? Come now, it won't hurt. We give you Novocaine.
And then we pack your lips with dry ice.
All right. Let's sell the kisses. I'll sell the kisses.
We're trying. We're trying.
Well, sell.
Maybe we got the wrong approach, Mr. Lewis. Let's try it from this angle.
All right.
Apparently nobody thinks it's worth $10 to kiss this dried-up old man. So I got a better offer. Who's willing to pay $5 to hug him? $2 to shake his hand? How about a buck to take a poke at him? And you can kick him a little.
correction.
Yeah, I got an even better idea. We'll let them throw baseballs at him.
A splendid thought. We'll give him 8 balls for a quarter. Here you are, folks. Step right up.
Now, wait a minute. You ain't going to do this.
He's right, kid. We haven't got any baseballs.
Let him throw rocks. Here you are, folks. 8 rocks for a quarter. Thank you, mister. Start throwing.
Julius, don't let him throw those rocks at me. Ow.
Oh,
quiet, Curly. This is for charity.
Ooh. Keep him let her high
he
now. Oh.
Can help him on today.
Oh, ow.
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. You can play any record, 45, 33 and a third, or 78 RPM, automatically on RCA Victor's new three-speed Victrola attachment. The center is the secret. Your 45 records fit perfectly on the large center spindle. Records change from the center the modern 45 way. And this unique spindle slips off in a jiffy when you want to play your 33 and a third and 78 RPM records. So buy whatever record you like in the speeds and sizes you prefer and play them automatically through any radio, phonograph, or TV set on RCA Victor's new three-speed Victrola attachment. When you visit your dealers, listen to RCA Victor's new Glenn Miller album. It's music in the Miller manner. 8 wonderful hit tunes, including Intermezzo and Sleepy Lagoon. Ask for Glenn Miller Concert, Volume 3, at your RCA Victor dealers tomorrow.
Folks, this is Phil again. I sincerely hope that our program has served as a reminder for you to give generously to the March of Dimes. Also, my thanks to Bing Crosby and his entire organization for my invitation to the Bing Crosby Pro Amateur Golf Tournament held at Pebble Beach last week. Bing informs me that through the help of the participants and that wonderful, wonderful gallery in the Bay Area, $35,000 was raised and has been turned over to the city of Monterey and will be used to aid crippled children. Thanks, Bing, for a good job. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Included in this program transcribed were Julie Bennett and Sheldon Leonard. The part of Julius was played by Walter Tetley. Whether you're in the mood for reading or relaxing, for dancing or romancing, there's music to match it in RCA Victor's new Mood Music series. You'll find a choice of melodies to fit your every mood, played by outstanding artists like Hugo Winterhalter, Henry René, and the Melocrino Strings. Ask your RCA Victor record dealer tomorrow for the new Mood Music records on extended play and long play records by RCA Victor.
Next, hear Theater Guild on the air over NBC.
Let's hear the chimes. There we go. That wraps up our first presentation. And I think we should learn something.
We should.
We learned that AT&T is having problems. Erie House Radio proudly presents GARS, Moral of the Story.
When borrowing money, don't spend your $400 bills all in one place.
There you go.
Wise. Such a wise man you are.
Yes, it was all about dreams.
It was all a bad dream. I am so glad I could bring that to you. It was all a bad dream because everybody
needs
that.
It's a great soundbite.
It is. It's fantastic.
It adds to my collection.
If you remember where it came from.
I wish I had access to everything while we were live. But it would make a list so long in the studio, I'd never find anything.
That's true. That's true.
That was a good one. And I hear it with the context it came out of, which makes it even funnier.
Yep. I remember you explained it in detail at once, but at one point, but I don't recall.
It was a secretary
who
was losing her mind, and she went to a psychiatrist, and she's sitting there telling him of her plight, And all he keeps saying is, it was all a bad dream. It was all a bad dream.
That's right.
And she's like, is that all you're going to say? It was all a bad dream? It was all a bad dream. And then he starts talking about the number seven and riding a bicycle, and it gets weirder from there.
You know, my
that sounds like a bad
sound.
Dream to me. Yeah.
You know my
that's
favorite sound like, don't you?
Is that the new one?
The aliens with the bursting heads. The
Make me a size of jackfruit.
Ah.
Make me a size of jackfruit.
Yep.
And look who
Oh, look. Hey, she made it. Can you hear us, C-Dub? I believe she's here. Yoo-hoo, testing. We
using
a
telephone, she's here?
Turn her off and turn her back.
There you go. Could be a microphone, could be a cell phone. Don't know. But that was Phil Harris. You know, I love William Tetley in that last show, Dave.
Oh, he is such a stinker on that show, isn't he?
Oh, he's a great character, but I've heard him in many, not always a quote-unquote heavy like he is, you know, as the annoying kid, but just in his career, many cartoons and things that he contributed to.
Yes.
His voice is very iconic to me.
And Speedy, the Alka-Seltzer tablet thing, guy, person, it.
Thing, yeah, whatever Speedy is. That was William Tetley.
Can we hear you, CW? No?
We hear the crackle of a new microphone.
Yeah, why don't you try and take her out and bring her back in, Dale? Maybe that'll help.
Excuse me? All right, hold on 1 second. Out and try this. Wait a minute. Are you there, CW? Gone completely.
The call
dropped. That could be the issue, but we do have Chet Cheddar's Tales from the Moor, Parts 1 and 2.
Do we have a fanfare? This is the 1500 show, complete show.
Yeah.
That we presented.
Yep. And there's two Gars in here now. That's creepy.
Yes.
And a CW. Wait a minute.
Yes. The G-A-R. And I'm going to turn off.
Yeah, that one don't sound too good. One of you sounds like heck, Gar.
Okay.
There
now,
we go.
CW, I hear a breathing.
Yeah, I hear heavy breathing, and I think it's Gar. Stop breathing.
That's not
Stop
me.
Stop breathing. Oh, okay. Well, if CW, resume breathing. No. Please.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, for some reason we're having trouble picking up CW, but we don't have trouble picking up Chet Cheddar and his Tale from the Moor.
Indeed. Let us begin. Do we have a broadcast feed on this, guys?
I did think
okay.
Gar.
Flip over to GAR, and I'll tell you.
Okay. We'll do that. There you go. Here we go on WGAR.
Or I could tell you.
I think we should. We're having microphone problems.
Okay, we'll
ahead.
Do it this way.
You got it. Okay,
yeah.
You got it?
So, yes, I got it. So, I did the GAR extrapolation date. And what I got was March 8th, 1992, as an installment on NPR Playhouse. And once we start hearing this, you're going to wonder why NPR ever put this on their Playhouse. But this is a hilarious thing. End scene. There you go.
And here's part one.
M&J Hello? Audio Theater presents Chet Cheddar's Tales from the Morgue.
Yeah.
Come right in and have yourself a seat. Rest your weary bones. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Chet Chetter, the morgue attendant. I'm also a licensed embalmer and the resident storyteller. Now, let's see what I have for you today. Ah, yes. Yes. My story for today begins in Biloxi, at a new restaurant owned by a retired seaman named Buford Van Horn. Buford's Bar and Seafood Place, it was called.
I have a cherry pie special there, Buford.
Already? One cherry pie special coming up. Will you be having any coffee with that, Mr. Ferris?
Yeah, give me a coffee with about six sugars.
Oh, a sugar coffee. I got you.
I'm finished with this paper, Caesar, if you want it. Be sure to check out the headline. It's a doozy.
Thank you, Dr. Stone. Let's see here. Oh, no, it happened. Look at this, Buford.
Yeah?
Elmer Corn made the front page.
Oh, well, that's not a surprise. He's the talk of the town.
Saved from gator attack. Tuesday afternoon, a truck transporting 12 Louisiana gators to Marshall County overturned on Highway 171. The alligators escaped into the streets of Biloxi and caused a panic among the citizens. A local resident, Elmer Corn, risked his life to capture the 12-foot-long gators. It was a good example of mind over manpower, said Mr. Corn, of the ordeal.
Hey.
Dad, come it!
Hey.
Buford, I helped Elmer with that. I should get some credit, too.
Well, now, maybe you can be one of them there unsung heroes.
Yeah.
Hey, here's your pie, Mr. Ferris.
You know, the sun is still set and rise without that Elmer Corn. Thank you, Buford.
Hey, mister, my daddy says that you know Elmer Corn. Is that right?
Yeah, I know Elmer Corn, and what's it to you, little girl?
He's my hero. I want to get his autograph.
You don't want Elmer Corn's autograph. Heck, he's just a manure hauler. That's all he is.
But he wrestled all those alligators. Not even my daddy could do that.
Yeah, well, he didn't exactly wrestle him.
Hey, it looks like old Mr. Corn is quite a popular fan. I think I'll need my cherry pie, actually.
Sure, you just do that, Buford. How about this? Let's erect a gold statue in his honor and then rename the town Elmer City. How about that?
I never thought of that.
Hey, little girl, come over here.
Yeah, sir.
I bet Elmer Corn can't dislocate his shoulders like
gonna,
I can.
What are you gonna
watch
do?
This.
Whoa. I've never seen nothing like that before, Mr. Ferris.
Wait a minute. Isn't that neat? You don't like it? It'll just come back into place. I just...
Out of there, Mr. Van Troppen.
Well, if it isn't the man of the hour. Hey, everyone, Mr. Corn's here.
Oh, now. Now, come on.
All right,
let's settle down now. I told him not to make such a fuss and print that story in the paper.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Come, Cecil, what in the world happened to your shoulder?
I dislocated my shoulders on purpose.
Shoot,
look
far.
At this. If I try hard enough, I can touch them both together.
No, don't do that, Cecil. Dadgum. They're liable to get stuck that way. That ain't nothing to brag about.
Hey, Elmer, I've got a grizzly bear for you to wrestle.
All right. Okay, you better stop pulling my dadgum leg. Now, y'all know how the Biloxi Gazette blows everything out of proportion. Now, I didn't wrestle no dadgum gator. I got the whole idea from a cartoon. I just rubbed them on the belly. They get just as docile, they go right to sleep. Well, heck, Cecil helped me load them back into the truck.
I sure did. Heck, I was holding the most dangerous part, the jaws. I could have got my arms bit off.
Ain't nothing worse than a fella who's brave.
Now, wait a minute. Now, Cecil deserves the credit. I mean, even a drowsy gator can be dangerous. So, Cecil, we still on for tonight? You gonna come over and watch wrestling matches with me? The Mala Warrior's going to unleash a new hold, the Persian Spine Snapper.
Well, I don't know, Elmer. I just might not be able to make it tonight. How about that?
Well, suit yourself. That just means more chili dogs for me.
Whoa!
gracious sakes alive, what a noise.
Elmer!
It shook the whole place. What in the world was that?
Elmer, I saw it through the window. It came from the sky. It landed in Miss Plunkett's backyard.
Look at the size of that thing, Mr. Buford. Whatever it is, it's landed in old Widder Plunkett's yard. Lord, that old woman's going to have a conniption fit.
Hey, it's a big metal thingamajig. Bet the size of my trailer home.
Yeah, it's drawing a little crowd of onlookers, I see. You can bet your price dear this is going to be in the front page of the Gazette tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, this is exciting news, almost as exciting as you wrestling in Madden's.
Oh, well, you get on out of here. Well, let's go golf with the rest of them. What do you say?
Are you going to do your duty and get these people off in my yard, or do I have to go get my squirrel gun?
Now, you just simmer right down, Miss Plunkett. If there's going to be any shooting done around here, I'm going to do it myself.
Hot dog, we get to use our pistol, Sheriff?
Let's don't go for our guns quite yet. What do you say, Roland?
Okay.
So why don't you go up and tell that crowd to back away from that thing? We don't know what we're dealing with yet.
Yes, sir, Sheriff. I'll go over there and holler at them right now. All right. Okay, everybody. Everybody back off now. Back off. It's police business. Don't let me use the tear gas and the rubber bullets.
Okay.
You got any idea what that thing is, Sheriff?
Well, I don't know, Wilmer. It's a big metal thorn in my side is what it is. Big hunk of space junk, probably. Just had to fall during lunch hour.
I'll bet you it's a meteorite. I'm going to go poke it with a stick.
Now, you ain't going to get near that thing, Ernie. You see, you can hear that humming noise coming from it. That doohickey still got some power in it. You stay away from that thing.
Well, here comes Cecil Ferris in his motorcycle. He might have some ideas of what it is.
Yeah, sure. Ask Cecil. That'll be good for a laugh.
Now, you ease up on Cecil.
Whoa,
darling, whoa! Hey, Cecil.
Yeah.
Over here.
Yeah, Elmer, sorry it took me so long. My signal kept breaking down.
Cecil, that pile of junk ain't worth the air in its tires. Why don't you just scrap that eyesore?
You watch what you say about my sickle, Bert. That thing can't defend itself.
Now, let's not scuffle, boys. Let's not scuffle. We were studying on what this thing is, Cecil.
Yeah.
You got any guesses?
Well, I guess it could be a UFO.
Ain't that just like a hick? If it falls from space, it's got to be a UFO.
Yeah, Cecil, you reckon there's some face-melting aliens in there?
Man, why won't anybody listen to me?
Now, y'all get off Cecil's back. I ain't seen near one of y'all come up with an idea that's better than he has. UFO sounds just about as good as any.
Yeah, right.
When it comes to being a hick, Ernie, you got that down to an art form.
Now, wait a second.
But now, I think I got this narrowed down. Whatever that thing is, it comes from this planet.
Hey, see,
look on there on the side. Look at there.
Right.
It's writing, and it's English, too.
Sure is.
Look at there. Property of Innovatrix, a private firm. Patent pending. If this satellite falls to Earth, please call 1-800-BIG-BANG. Big Bang, that don't sound good.
I want that big old thing off in my property. You understand, Sheriff?
Oh, yes, Miss Plunkett, yes. It looks like it only weighs about 20 tons, so I'll tell you what, I'll hook it up to the squad car and I'll drag it out in the ditch for you, all right?
Sure. I think me and the boys got it figured out. I think it's a satellite. It's got a number on the side of it, 1-800-BIG-BANG.
Big Bang, Big Bang. I got to write that down on my hand.
Later, on a small, secluded tropical island,
here's your martini, Mr. Goldenstone.
Oh, bless you, child. Basking in this hot sun works up a thirst. Yes. Be a dear love. Find someone to shimmy up that tree and retrieve me a pineapple, would you? And a tad peckish. There's a good girl.
Of course, Mr. Goldenstone. There's a telephone call for you on line 2. Yes. It's Mr. Van Swizzle.
Van Swizzle? I told him not to call me here. Can't they run things for 2 bloody weeks? Now, this better be an emergency of biblical proportions, or I'll have his eyes cut out. Hello?
Van Swizzle, yes.
Van Swizzle, you boob. What is the meaning of this intrusion?
We have
What? The satellite has come down from orbit.
Egad, man. Say it's not so. Darling.
Yes?
Massage my temples, would you?
Of course.
I received a call from America 5 minutes ago.
America?
The satellite landed in a rural village of Biloxi, it is called, I believe.
Biloxi.
The local police officer called. He informed me that the satellite was indeed humming.
Humming? Zounds. That means it's still functioning. Meet me at the Heathrow Airport in 4 hours, Van Swizzle. We're going to Biloxi the minute we can book a flight.
Yes.
Pray for the sake of your career, we are not too late.
Indeed, I will be praying.
Oh, why can't my life run smoothly? After all, I'm rich.
There, there, now, Mr. Golden Spoon. Here's your pineapple.
Putting on a record over there.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your amazement, and for the Biloxi Gazette, Cecil Ferris, alias Dandy Daredevil, will defy death by jumping just 30 feet high and 50 foot long. Whatever it is.
I can't believe you're doing this, Cecil. You're going to break your full neck or worse.
Elmer, this is something I just have to do. Now, we're just going to see who's going to be on the front cover of the Biloxi Gazette tomorrow.
Well, I know who's just liable to be in the obituaries. Cecil, that old motorcycle ain't going to jump that satellite. Sheriff, you got to do something about this. Ugh. That old scooter, it's held together with chicken wire. He's going to break every bone in his body.
Yeah, you just cool off, Elmer. He ain't going to hurt himself. We got an ambulance standing by in case he does. Besides, he's donating half the ticket money to the policeman's boss.
Attention, everyone. Get your camcorders rolling. The death-defying stunt will now begin.
Sakes alive.
Whenever you're ready, Cecil.
Cecil, get off that sickle.
No.
Come on, you ain't got nothing to prove.
No.
Let's go frog-gigging.
You hear that, Elmer? You hear that? I'm gonna be famous now. Now you just step back. I'm gonna jump that thing now.
Oh, dang. I hope that flimsy flyboard ramp holds up. Howdy, Miss Maddox, over
Elmer,
here.
Elmer, I just got here. What's going on here, Al?
Miss Maddox, it's Cecil. Dang fool's trying to find a quick way to a broken neck.
Did you see what happened, Elmer? The sun was in my eyes.
Yeah, I seen it, Sheriff, but it happened so quick it took a second from my brain to process it all. Cecil was just about halfway over that satellite in midair when his motorcycle just sucked out from under him and attached to that satellite like it was a magnet or something. Poor old Cecil's up in that old willow tree. I'm a-coming, Cecil. Just hang on to that willow branch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the show is now over.
Give me
back my mic. Hey!
Found it. Can't you fly this jet any faster? The bleeding birds are passing us by.
We're moving twice the speed of sound, Mr. Gold.
Only Mark II? Are we in the Dark Ages or something? Come alive, Van Swizzle.
Oh.
There's no time for a lie down.
What is it?
How soon to Biloxi?
Weather permitting, we will be there in approximately 4 hours.
How much longer until the 0 hour?
It would be approximately 4 hours and 44 minutes, to be precise.
Oh, only 4 hours and 44 minutes, and my life could be ruined. This is not happening. I wish it all away.
You are not alone in your despair. People could die, Mr. Gold. I smell a foul wind that grows danker by the minute. It reeks of lawsuits and lengthy prison terms.
Oh, shut up, Van Swizzle, and go back to sleep. My only hope is they have the good sense to stay away from the satellite.
Hey, part one of four of Chet Cheddar's Tales from the Morgue. Well, it's two parts, but four parts.
I knew you'd have
Garen,
fun with
you
that.
Want to take a run at that one?
Wait, okay. Did we just hear the end of the first part? Are we hearing
the
halfway?
We heard the first part of part one.
The first part of part one, yes.
Yeah.
All right. The first part of part one. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah, it's part one of four overall.
Sorry.
Part one of four overall.
No, wait.
Yeah, you want to wait till the next part to give the first moral. Unless
okay,
you have four
yeah,
morals.
He needs to make it over. He didn't make it over the doodad yet. So, not yet. We need more unusual radioactive waves to make things really jive.
Let me see if I got this. The next moral is after part two of part one, which is part two of four of tonight's program.
Yes.
Of Chet Cheddar's Morgue. Okay. Tales from the Morgue.
There you go. You win.
I'm confused. What day is this?
This is the day we're doing our 800th show, which is a prime example of how things go around here at Erie Hills Radio, okay?
Yes.
Oh,
come heck or high water, we're going to bring you a show. Try to be as entertaining as possible with a whole lot of radio, which we ain't got a lot of time for now that we've broken through some challenges. We don't even do this by sight. Sometimes we do this by feel. As we get into part two of one, of four, Chet Cheddar's Tales from the Morgue. We'll be back, baby.
Run over there to the satellite and stand next to your motorcycle, Cecil. I want to take your picture.
Hey, Elmer, I thought we were going to tie up my motorcycle and try to pull it off this thing.
Well, we will directly. I want to add this to my scrapbook of funny pictures. I'm going to put this one next to that snapshot of you with your tongue stuck to that frozen lamppost.
Well, ain't I just the court jester here, Elmer? Maybe I ought to get into comedy and make comedy movies and just make people laugh all the daggone time.
Oh, now come on, Cecil. Don't carry on like that.
I could just spit. You know, somebody sent in a videotape of me making that jump to that old Channel 6 news.
I know. I seen it. Heck, I imagine the whole town seen it. Now, Cecil, you ought to be proud that you're a celebrity now. It ain't everybody gets on the Channel 6 Hometown Blooper Show.
This is the most humiliating thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, now, Cecil, I wouldn't say that. I think when you got your tongue stuck at that frozen lamppost last winter, I think that beats it out in the humiliation department.
That's right, Elmer. Get your yucks like everybody else. Just call me Sir Joke-a-Lot.
I just wish you could see your face, Cecil. You look like you just got through sucking a bushel of lemons. I was just fooling you, dadgum. Cecil, every dog has his day, and your day in the spotlight's going to come. You just mark my word. All you need to do is have a little patience. Now, listen here. Grab onto your sickle and act like you're really trying to pull it off. Really, really bug your eyes out and make your tendons stick out in your neck like you're really straining it, all right? Let's make it funny.
Anything to get this show on the road.
All right. That's it. Oh, I wish you could see yourself. Okay, Cecil, look at the birdie. I'm going to take this. Feels like someone's pulling the camera out of my hand. That I can't hold on to the dadgum thing.
Ow! Whoa, Elmer! That camera nearly hit me square in the face.
Well, I tried to hang on to it, Cecil, but it felt like it was going to jerk my arms out of their socket.
Well, let's get the sickle, Elmer. That's what we came here for.
Well, all right. I'll make a stab at it. But heck, that satellite's got a strong magnetic hold. I don't think he wants to let go of your sickle. All right, I already got the rope tied to it. You holler if it starts to slip off my trailer hitch, all right?
All right, Elmer.
All right, Bessie. Okay, now, let's put your back into it, darling. You can do it. Hunker down, girl. Come on. Come on, Bessie girl. Come on, you can do it. Come on now. Oh, come on, girl. Put your back into it. Dang, the tires are spinning. Shoot, car. It just ain't worth stripping my gears for that raggedy old scooter. It ain't worth breaking a good rope. I'll just have to tell Cecil I just can't. Whoa! What's that humming sound? Golly bum! Something's pulling the truck backwards. Dadgum, that satellite's got it. Got my truck in its magnetic clutches. Lord in mercy! My front end snapped it up. It's rearing up on its back wheels. I'm gonna flip over! I'm sliding into that thing! Dadgum! The truck is collapsing in on me. It's like being in a garbage compactor. Good Lord of mercy.
Elmer, are you all right? You all right in there?
I've been better, Cecil. I feel more bruised than broken, though, so I guess I'm all right. How do I look from your perspective?
You look lucky to be alive, Elmer. Goodness, your truck is smushed up like an accordion.
Oh, Lord. I know this is a stupid question, but did I crush your motorcycle?
Yeah, it's junk now.
Well, heck, let's face it, Cecil. It was junk to begin with. But I am sorry about it. Dang, I don't know how in the heck I'm going to get out of this thing. Upside down in a crumpled up truck. This looks like the sort of thing we'll laugh at later on, but it ain't very funny now. I can't move my left foot. It's caught under a jagged piece of metal.
Yeah?
Would you go tell Sheriff McElroy that I'm hung up like this?
Sure.
He's got the jaws of life, you know.
Yeah, the jaws of life. I've always wanted to see one of them things work, Elmer. I'll be right back, quick as I can.
Okay, thank you, Cease. Take your time. I'll be here when you get back.
It just ain't no use, Sheriff. Elmer's still in that truck. We tried everything. Tried the jaws of life.
Yeah.
Conroy Pip down at the Grease Monkey Haven Body Shop. He brought over his cutting torch.
Yeah.
But every time you bring anything near that satellite within 20 feet,
yeah,
swoop, clang. You can't hold on to it. I mean, that sucker's magnetized sure enough.
Oh, Lord of mercy. What, did you try something wood rolling, a club or something?
Well, ain't nothing wood strong enough to pry Elmer out of that truck, Sheriff. Dadgum, he's got his foot caught under the steering column.
Oh, Lord. We got bad luck in abundance. You went down there, Doc Stone, and took a look at him. How's Elmer look to you?
Well, sir, as near as I can see, it weren't no broken bones or nothing, knock on wood. I have to wait and see about that leg. Wrist or bruises, I'm sure Elmer will live, unless he starves to death.
Bad gun.
Oh, heck no, I don't think he's going to starve to death. Miss Maddox brought him over a squirrel pie and some mustard greens, fed him to him through the vent window.
Poor Elmer, caught in a 2-ton Watt of pickup truck, and it's all because of me.
Well, ain't no time to worry about that, Cecil. The main concern is how to get Elmer out of there.
You know, I hear tell sometimes a rabbit, when he's caught in a trap, will chew off his own foot to get out. Of course, I just mentioned that to make conversation. I'm not suggesting Elmer do that.
Forgive my intrusion, gentlemen.
Huh?
I must speak to the officer.
Oh, well, right here, boys, right here. I'm Sheriff McElroy.
Pleased to meet. So sorry. I've been running from the limousine.
That's okay.
I am Conrad Goldenspoon from Innovatrix.
Oh.
It is a private scientific research firm.
Oh, you're the satellite boy.
Indeed, we are the satellite boys.
Oh, yeah, from 1-800 Big Bang.
Yes. You spoke to my assistant, Van Swizzle, over the phone. He could not discuss this matter in detail, I'm afraid. The phones have ears, you know. However, Big Bang is, well, it's sort of our attempt at glib humor. The satellite will not explode, I assure you.
It will, in fact, implode.
Implode?
Yes, in 20 minutes, approximately. The satellite is actually an antimatter device, you see. All living things and non-living things are composed of matter, and science dictates that matter cannot be destroyed, but we think we have found a way to do it.
Well, shoot, why'd you want to do that in the first place?
The primary goal would be waste disposal, plastics and the like. They take forever to decompose. Now they could be eliminated without a trace. Of course,
This implosion was supposed to be tested in space.
Uh-huh.
Gravity conspired against us.
Uh-huh, I know. And now this thing's going to go off right here in Biloxi, and you say 20 minutes?
That is correct. It is rigged with a timing device. However, I do not think there's any need for any serious concern, Sheriff. We passed by this satellite on our way here. We found a few metallic objects attached to it. It is sort of a side effect. It increases in magnetism as it nears the implosion. This will occur in a 50-meter radius, which is quite small, actually.
Yeah.
As long as no one comes near the object, no one should be hurt.
Oh, no.
The satellite itself will be destroyed, a few trees. But other than that, I think we're in the clear.
Wrong, boys. Elmer Korn has caught him one of them metal objects clinging to that satellite.
Caught in his pickup truck like a sardine.
A possible fatality, Mr. Gold.
Oh, I believe I'm going to swoon.
We can't get Elmer out of there because of that magnetic field that thing has given off. We got to stop that thing from going off, boys.
Oh.
We got about 15 minutes left. Now come up with something.
The only way, Sheriff, would be to have someone crawl into the satellite and disconnect some wires. It's a very small space, only about 5 decimeters wide. Only a child could fit.
Yeah.
Just a second. Cecil?
Yeah?
Why don't you show that man what he was doing at the bar the other day?
Oh,
that
yeah.
That thing you can do with your shoulders?
Yeah, I can dislocate my shoulders. Watch this.
What does this disgusting display have to do with our dilemma?
Well, sir, I would imagine that Cecil can fit into a space about 10 or 12 inches wide when his shoulders are collapsed like that.
Oh, that could work. That could work. My man, are you willing to risk your life to save another?
Say, I'd walk over hot coals to save Elmer.
Well, keep them shoulders dislocated, Cecil. Let's go, boys.
Yeah.
Cecil, what in the heck are you climbing into that thing for?
Now, you just sit tight, Elmer. I gotta dislocate some wires real quick.
Well, why is everybody keeping their distance? Come on, Cecil, give me some answers now.
Well,
what's going on?
Are you sure them walkie-talkies ain't gonna static out around that magnetic field?
Oh, no. We designed these comlinks in a laboratory. They contain crystal circuits to function under magnetic conditions.
What in the heck are y'all doing, Sheriff? Come on, tell me.
I ain't nothing to fret about, Elmer. You just sit tight. Everything's going to be okay.
Are you sure we're a safe distance for that satellite in case this don't, work out?
Yes, Deputy, yes. 60 meters is more than sufficient. Now, silence, please. I must talk to Mr. Ferris. Young man, approximately 5 meters into the tunnel, you will find a small hole to the right, about 5 decimeters in diameter.
What the heck is a decimeter? Just look for a small hole. This is where you will need to fit in order to disconnect the wires.
All right. I see a small hole. It's right here. And get a bunch of blinking lights in it.
Good show, Mr. Nash. You found it. Now, look into the opening. You will see four colored wires.
Four colored wires. I see them. Dadgummit, this is a tight fit. Even with my shoulders bent like a boomerang.
The blue wire. Do you see it? Disconnected at once.
Blue? I can't tell which one is blue.
This is no time for stupidity, Mr. Ferris.
It ain't stupidity. I'm colorblind. I'm just going to unplug them all.
Dear God, no. No, Mr. Ferris. Don't do that. You'll trigger the implosion. Just get out of there at once. You have 30 seconds.
Japers, I'm stuck.
Lord have mercy. He can't get out of there. Hang on, Cecil. Me and Roland will get you out.
Sheriff, deputy, come back.
My worst fear confirmed.
Hang in there. We're going to throw a rope into you, Cecil.
Yeah, don't panic, old boy.
Somebody tell me what in the hell's going on.
No, they're gone. The police officers, Mr. Korn, Mr. Ferris, all gone. I've killed them all.
Well, that was a grim ending, wasn't it? Well, this is a morgue, you know.
But please, do not despair. This story has only begun. Do return next time, won't you? You will not believe what happens next. Until then, pleasant dreams.
I once had a friend who lived in the forest. He could not see, and I could not talk. Carradine strode up, a tote and a rifle. He shot my arm, so I went for a walk. Frankenstein made you from dead people's bodies. You were intended to be my new bride. You screamed when you saw me and blew up the castle. I guess you ran off with Jekyll and Hyde. Where, oh, where are you tonight? Why did you leave me here all alone? I searched the world over, and I thought I found true love. You met another, and you were gone.
I loved a girl that married another. Transplanted his hands with a killer's that bad. I made him think he murdered his father to drive him crazy, but it's I who am mad. It was I who loved you, cherished you, adored you. So when you went to him, I went crazy. Stark, raving mad. I want to gouge out his eyes. I conquered science, but never love. Where, oh where, are you tonight? Why did you leave here all alone? I searched the world over, and I thought I found true love. You met another, and you were gone.
I had three wives in old Transylvania. Then I left for England for victims so fine. Van Helsing found out that I was a vampire. When I had stated I never drink wine, he hunted me down with mirrors and crosses. He hoped to drive a stake in my heart. But he killed my wives asleep in their coffins. Getting me angry was not very smart.
Where, oh where, are you tonight? Why did you leave me here, all alone? I searched the world over and thought I found true love. You met another and you were gone.
It was well worth pinching in the time. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Star's Moral of the Story. Here it comes.
The problem with having a magnetic personality is knowing when to turn it off.
Hey, yo, I don't even have time for a sound bite. We've got to get on with part 3 of 4, which is really part 1 of 2. Chet Shepard, Tales from the Moors.
Yeah.
Air date, March 15th, 1992, as an installment on NPR Playhouse.
Yeah. Surprisingly. Yep.
M&J Audio Theater presents Chet Cheddar's Tales from the Morgue.
Oh,
Come right in, my friend. Have yourself a seat. I am Chet Chetter, the morgue attendant and resident storyteller. You may recall our last story ended with quite a cliffhanger. It all began when a satellite re-entered the Earth's atmosphere and landed in the small town of Biloxi. A local and popular resident, Elmer Korn, discovered a toll-free number printed on the side of the satellite.
It says, property of Innovatrix, a private firm. If this satellite falls to Earth, please call 1-800-BIG-BANG. Big Bang, that don't sound good.
The word quickly got to Sir Goldenspoon, a supervisor of an independent scientific research firm.
This is horrible, Van Swizzle. You say the satellite has fallen to Earth?
Yes, indeed. And they also reported that it was humming.
Humming? Zounds. That means that it is still functioning.
Goldenspoon and his assistant immediately took a flight to Biloxi. However, before they could arrive, the satellite began producing a powerful magnetic pull. The magnetic field was so great, in fact, that Elmer Korn was sucked back in his truck and pinned to the satellite's side.
I'm sliding into that thing! Bad job! The truck is collapsing in on me! It's like being in a garbage compactor!
All attempts to free Mr. Korn from his mangled truck failed. When Sir Goldenspoon and his assistant arrived, they informed the sheriff that the satellite was designed to test an antimatter implosion in space. The implosion's detonation time was pre-calculated to go off in just 20 minutes.
20 minutes? Good Lord, boys, we got a problem. Elmer Korn's caught in his pickup truck, and it's clinging to the side of that satellite.
In order to stop the implosion, a certain wire inside the satellite had to be disconnected, and only one person could fit in such a small space. That was Cecil Ferris, Elmer's best friend.
I can dislocate my shoulders. Watch this. Ugh.
With Cecil's dislocated shoulders, he was able to fit in the allotted space with not an inch to spare. Unfortunately, Mr. Ferris was colorblind and unable to identify the correct wire to dislocate. And there was another problem.
Jeepers, I'm stuck!
Lord have mercy, he can't get out of there. Hang on, Cecil. Me and Roland will get you out.
Sheriff, deputy, come back.
My worst fear confirmed.
Hang in there. We're going to throw a rope into you, Cecil.
Yeah, don't panic, old boy.
Somebody tell me what in the hell's going on.
Oh, no. They're gone. The police officers, Mr. Korn, Mr. Ferris, all gone. I've killed them all.
We are gathered here today to pay our last respects to four courageous men. Sheriff McElroy, Deputy Huckabee, Elmer Korn, and Cecil Ferris. Mr. Ferris risked his life to save his best friend, Mr. Korn, and earned this headline on the Biloxi Gazette. Cecil Ferris, our hero. Mr. Korn was already an established hero with saving our town from mutant mole rats, and the sheriff and his deputy were heroes in their own rights. They will all be sorely missed. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Meanwhile, Meanwhile, over 1 million years into the future...
Pardon me, sir, but I seem to have lost my way. Do you think you could point me the way to Larry's Liquor Palace? Say, you look like a toxic fire hydrant. I must really be loaded. Say, would you light my cigar? I fell asleep in the gutter and got my matches wet.
Simon, engine, speak,
speak,
you speak of a foul odor, and you are intoxicated.
That's an engine.
Open the arena doors now.
Well, now, wait just a cotton minute. Boy, those are big doors. Where are we going?
Silence. Walk forward into the arena, Flash Creature. Do not make me use the electronic probe.
Well, I want to know what the heck is going on. Ow! Okay. Don't shock me no more. I'm walking. You bully. All I wanted was a Bloody Mary mix anyway. Hey. Hey, what the heck is this place? Some kind of newfangled indoor stadium or something?
Hello, Flesh Creature, can you hear me?
I hear you, but I can't see you.
Very good. Welcome to the arena, Flesh Creature. You have been brought here to confront Terrortron, the Beast of Steel. Do you have anything to say before we release the creature?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I gotta go to the bathroom real bad.
Oh, they never have anything intelligent to say. Very well, let us begin. Do try to put on a good show, Flesh Creature. You are being televised throughout the world. Release Terrortron now.
Terrortron? God, what the heck is that? It looks like a Tyrannosaurus Rex made out of a giant Rexer set. Now, you just keep your distance, big boy. I'm a veteran, pal. I've been trained in hand-to-hand combat. You just... Stay away
from me. Terrortron has consumed the Flash Creature, Master.
Yes, I have psi senses, Micron. I am aware of this. Oh, how disappointing. He didn't even struggle. It's becoming tiresome. Every day is the same as another. We send a Flesh Creature into the arena and he is consumed by Terrortron. Where is the challenge, I ask you?
The nerve center of the human was dulled by alcohol, Master. Perhaps we could send a Flesh Creature of higher intelligence to confront Terrortron.
An intriguing concept, Micron, but you know there is a great risk involved. We cannot retrieve a Flesh Creature that is too intelligent.
There are 4 Flesh Creatures in Prison Facility 2-0, Master. At first glance, their intelligence appears average. However, they are sober, and they have arrived by their own means. We did not retrieve them.
Arrived by their own means? But that is impossible. The Flesh Creatures never perfected time travel. Oh. Prepare my Land Rover, Micron. We will travel to the prison facility at once. I am very anxious to meet with these humans.
Flesh Creature,
I'm just resting my eyes, Miss Crabtree. Dreaming dreams. What the heck are you? Huh? Cower in fear? Well, who am I supposed to be afeard of? Hey, you walking tea kettle, come back here. Well, don't leave when the conversation's just getting good. Where the heck am I?
Elmer!
Huh?
What are you doing there?
Cecil? Cecil!
Yes, me!
Cecil, old buddy!
Elmer!
If you ain't a welcome sight, I don't know what is.
How would that go?
Give me a hug, old buddy.
Oh,
I don't care if you are a man.
Oh, yuck, a hug.
Lord. Deputy, howdy, Sheriff McElroy.
Howdy, Elmer.
Lord, what's going on, guys? Are we sharing the same nightmare or something?
Well,
it's that satellite, Elmer. When it went off, it put us into another world or something.
That satellite. That's right. I was stuck in my truck, and it was hanging on to that satellite. And Cecil, you was crawling into that thing.
We didn't want to worry you, Elmer. That's why we didn't tell you what was going on. Cecil was going in there to try to dismantle the thing. The fellow what made that satellite said it was some sort of antimatter device.
Uh-huh. Said it was going to destroy everything in a 50-meter radius.
And Cecil risked life and limb to try to stop it.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Except, you didn't stop it, did you, Cecil?
Well, yeah.
Good Lord. I just got a grim thought, fellas. Suppose we didn't survive when that thing went off.
Yeah, Elmer. What if we're in hell? Dang it, I should have got baptized when I had the chance.
Well, if this is hell, it sure is a disappointment. I thought it'd be a heck of a lot hotter.
Oh, I was just thinking out loud, Deputy.
Yeah.
I don't reckon we're in hell, no.
Yeah.
Well, heck, we've been living good lives, more or less.
Yeah, I know.
We ain't killed nobody.
Yeah.
And I don't expect they'd send us straight to hell without letting us stop over in purgatory to plead our case.
Well, I hope you're right, Elmer.
Like
good
prayer,
Dadgummit.
Kneel in 2 feet of water?
Will I be forced to use the probe?
Good Lord.
Oh, heck no. Let's don't make him use the probe, guys.
Yeah,
let's swallow our pride and kneel, all right?
Yeah, good idea. Good
yeah,
idea.
Good idea, yeah. Let's
see. Oh, my. These are the flesh creatures you spoke of, Micron. These are the time travelers.
Excuse me there for a second, fellas. I'm Elmer Corn from Biloxi. I want to speak kind of on the behalf of my friends here. We don't know where the heck we're at, but I did want to say whatever you got in store for us, we ain't above begging for mercy if it'll do any good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Human, inform the master how you arrived in the salt desert. Where is your time device?
It would be wise to answer Micron's question, flesh creature. And be advised, a false answer can be easily detected. Where is your time device?
Time device? We don't have no time device.
Never had one, never will.
Analysis, Micron.
The human speaks the truth, Master.
But how could they arrive without a time device?
I think these robots are trying to tell us we're in another time. Say, where are we? When are we?
What does AA mean?
After Armageddon.
After Armageddon?
Damn.
Shocking, isn't it? These creatures obviously arrived by some sort of mysterious error. But it matters not. They were all into the arena, but you two will go first.
Huh? Me and Cecil?
Yes. You will confront Terratron, the Beast of Steel, and your friends will watch.
Terratron. Well, sir, we'd love to in the worst way, but we all took a vote and we decided we'd much rather go home.
Oh, a sense of humor, how refreshing. Micron, put them all in shackles and direct them to the arena.
Part 1 of part 2. which is part three of part four, if you're keeping score. Chet Cheddar's Tales of Morgue, 1-800-BANG.
Yeah.
I thought if you dialed 1-800-BIG-BANG, you'd get Sheldon.
You
or
would
Leonard.
Get that.
Yeah.
Or one of them guys, you know.
Well, that would be in theory, though, you know.
In theory.
Yeah. Hillbillies in a Haunted House killed me.
Great movie.
Hillbillies in Space and in the Future sounds even more daunting.
Yep.
If you've ever seen the movie Hillbillies in a Haunted House,
I don't recommend it
to anybody.
It's great. That's why you should watch it. There's good makeups in it, actually, though. There's some of the classic horror film monsters in it.
In the 16 years I've been a horror host, it's the only film I can't see anymore, and I turned it off. I said, I'm sorry, people. I can't do it.
Wow.
I can't. They had this one segment at the end where it's no longer the movie. It's just the Grand Ole Opry. And
it's a hoedown. It's a hootenanny.
I can't do it. I apologize. That's my kryptonite. I'm sorry. Good night, folks.
Yeah. Good night. On to part four of four or part two of two, depending on how you want to look at it.
I'm confused.
You gotta leave time for shameless promotion. Goats.
I was confused before.
Yeah, why should today be any different?
Welcome to the arena, Flesh Creatures. Before we begin, let me inform you that should you defeat Terratron, and you would be the first, your lives will be spared and those of your friends. Any final words of wisdom before we begin, my humble
creatures? No, it's kind of hard to come up with something witty when you think you're about to die. I would like to know why we have to go through this, though.
Oh, why, you are the entertainment. This is being televised throughout the world, so please, I beg of you, do scream for mercy and run in fear, cringe in terror, put on the best show you can. Release Terratron now.
Dadgummit, would you look at that? Lord, it's some kind of mechanical dinosaur. Cecil, if we get out of this one, I'm going to church more often. How about you?
Elmer! Elmer! Come over here to the side of the arena. I got something for you.
Okay, Sheriff. Keep it running, Cecil, old buddy. I'll come back and help you in just a second.
Heads up, Elmer. I'm going to fold these things down to you.
Well, it's a nightstick and a tape measure.
Think on your toes, Elmer. That's all I got. They took my gun away from me.
Well, heck, it's easy for you to say that, Sheriff. We're up here on the balcony.
Help, Elmer! I'm cornered like a rat!
Stay away from my buddy, you ugly mechanical critter. Come over here and eat me. I'll tear you loose from your hinges.
Elmer, it's coming your way!
Lord, what have I done? Cecil, quick! I'll throw you the receptacle end of this measuring tape, all right? I'll hold on to the measuring part.
Hurry.
Here, catch.
Got it.
Good boy. Now, you run to the left, and I'll run to the right. We're going to wrap that mama's leg with this measuring tape.
Oh, I am impressed with this display.
They got the monster tangled up in that tape. He can't move his leg.
Yeah, and he's going to fall, too. Look out, boys.
Whoa, look out, please. We got him on his back now. Okay, now you start pulling wires out of that thing, and I'll start wailing on him with this nightstick.
All right, Elmer.
Impressive.
Take this, you little varmint.
Elmer, you got my leg.
Dadgum, the critter's trying to stand up. Oh, no, you don't. That dog ain't going to hunt. You can't stand with a broken back, you ugly. Into that, Mama. Sell that sucker for scrap parts.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, most impressive. Highly entertaining. Oh, you are to be commended for your efforts, flesh creatures. You will all be my guest in the palace. Mycron, prepare a feast for them.
I ain't the one to look a gift horse in the chops, but this here food is a little salty.
Why, it is salt. Food is non-existent. The only thing that comes close is salt from the Atlantic Salt Desert.
Atlantic Salt Desert?
The Atlantic Salt Desert was once an ocean, stupid one. The nuclear holocaust destroyed the ozone layer. Massive global warming soon followed. All oceans evaporated. The remaining animal and plant life were destroyed as well.
You know, this has been sticking in my craw ever since you first mentioned it. This Armageddon, does it happen in our lifetime? The only intelligent beings that remained were the service robots the flesh creatures had created. The most intelligent of these was the Master 2000. Only one prototype was created.
Uh-huh. And I bet you that was you, wasn't it?
Yes. You are more intelligent than you appear, flesh creature. I was programmed to repair myself whenever necessary and to create more of my own kind. I began to repopulate the dead planet Earth. It took 10,000 centuries, mind you, but now the world has life again.
We are a totally self-serving, non-violent, highly intelligent race. We have achieved everything the humans cannot.
Boy, rubber face in it.
Now I have a question, flesh creatures. How in the world did you arrive over a million years ahead of your time?
Well, as far as I can tell, that satellite sent us here.
Satellite? Why, you naughty creature, you never mentioned the satellite.
Well, now, you never asked us about no satellite. Yes, sir. Yesterday, I guess it was, this satellite landed by accident in our hometown of Biloxi. And the fellow what made it said it was some sort of antimatter device. Said it was going to implode, destroying everything in a 50-meter radius. Well, we tried to stop it from going off, but couldn't do it. We got caught up in the implosion, and bang, here we are.
Matter cannot be destroyed, foolish one. Obviously, the satellite transformed your physical structures into minute particles and sent you through time.
How foolish of that human to think he could destroy matter. He created a time machine and did not know it. How typical. We developed time travel 400 years ago. We found a crystal in an underground bunker. It was discovered during a flesh creature expedition of the planet Mars in the year 2103 AD. Only one of these crystals exists. Of course, the flesh creatures never found a use for the crystal. But we discovered it to be a powerful source. It is the main source of power for our time device.
Well, now, you go and call yourself a non-violent race, and you sick a mechanical dinosaur on me and Cecil. And when I was in that arena, I saw a liquor bottle and a torn shirt. Has there been other people in that thing, too?
Yes, many, many. You see, over the course of several centuries, we have developed one nagging human emotion, boredom. We have nothing to do. We don't have to work, and we don't have to eat. So we require some form of entertainment. So we've been going into the past with our time machines and retrieving humans, flesh creatures, to send them into the arena.
You send folks into that arena to fight that monster just to get your dadgum kicks?
Shall I punish this flesh creature, Master, for his disrespect?
No, Mycron, I can understand the human's anger. Let us go into my relaxation chamber. We can discuss these matters in a more inviting atmosphere.
All right.
Okay, well, sir. All right. You take the lead.
Yep.
That way.
Thank you.
You see, we retrieve flesh creatures from the past, mostly what you would consider vagrants and lower-class citizens, nothing else.
Well, why don't you get some upper-scale folk?
Well, you see, if we were to abduct an intelligent flesh creature, or worse, a computer programmer, it would seriously threaten our existence. I would hate to contemplate a worst-case scenario.
Yeah, I get you, Drift. Like if you were to get someone who, designed robots, well, you could wipe out your own existence, couldn't you?
Exactly.
Say, that closet-looking thing over there in the corner, that ain't your time machine, is it?
Yes, yes. But we call it a time defier.
These flesh creatures are becoming far too inquisitive, Master. I suggest we begin the entertainment extermination immediately.
Entertainment extermination?
Yes. An intelligent flesh creature can be dangerous, you see. The four of you will confront Destructicon, a much larger and more powerful killing machine. You will surely die this time.
Hell's bells, they're gonna send us back to the arena.
Bigoted, stupid one. Destructicon is equipped with onboard surveillance cameras. Your death will be televised worldwide. The entire palace will be your arena.
Release Destructicon now.
Christmas. All right, everybody, quick, run into that time machine.
Kill them, Destructicon. Do not allow them to enter the time defier.
Get into that thing.
Okay.
Come on.
All right, everybody start pressing buttons and hope we get this thing cranked up.
All right, Elmer.
Welcome to the time defier. Please press time and destination on the keyboard.
I'm going to try to punch in when we left.
Destructicon's got us in its clutches, Elmer!
Stop! Stop, Destructicon! Stop! You're destroying the time defier! It's the only one in existence!
Press the red ALEX key. Time travel will then commence.
Red ALEX key? This thing is full of red keys.
Just start pressing red keys, Sheriff. Hear him, scare him, and do it quick. This creature's gonna swallow us whole.
The roof's caving in on us, Elmer!
Time will now be defied.
We are gathered here today to pay our last respects to four courageous men.
Good lordy.
Yeah.
We're here, fellas.
Yep.
Wherever here he is.
Welcome to 20th Century Biloxi. Population 600.
Biloxi, I'm a ground-kissing fool. We're home, fellas.
Hey, look, everybody.
Elmer.
It's Elmer and the gang.
Elmer, oh, I'm so glad you're home.
Miss Maddox, dadgum, we landed in church.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Well, sir, Elmer, we all figured you'd deceased, all four of you. We was holding a memorial service for you.
A memorial service for us? Dadgummit.
Walking in her own funeral, just like old Tom Sawyer.
Say, Luella, play some happy welcome home music on that organ.
Okay! Say, Elmer, come over here.
Okay.
Should we tell everybody what we went through?
Oh, no, Cecil, I don't think so. They're having such a good time, and besides, the future, going to the robots and all that, it's best we keep it to ourselves.
It's a kind of a grim future, though, ain't it, Elmer?
Well, sir, Sheriff, I think it's best we don't dwell on such as that. If we learned anything by all this, it's to enjoy life now.
Oh, yeah.
And one more thing I think we've learned.
What's that?
Take a crowbar to that time machine.
Yeah, good idea.
Sheriff, I'm going to get a crowbar and a sledgehammer.
Yeah, okay, you do that, Roy.
Well, now, there you are. A tale about time. Well, it's certainly good that it's fiction. An unsettling thought, the robots taking over the future. No need for morgue attendance, or morgues for that matter. When a robot runs down, you just send it to the scrap pile. Oh,
You have to go, do you? Well, do return for another story next time, won't you? Until then, pleasant dreams.
I like this guy. I do.
You have just heard Chet Cheddar's Tales from the Morgue. Today's installment, part two of 1-800-BIG-BANG. The names and characters portrayed in this production are fictitious. Any similarities with actual persons, living or dead, including robots, is purely coincidental.
At least they included the robots.
Yes, they did.
A production by M&J Audio Theater.
Gotta get those last couple twangs in there.
Yeah. Crowbars and time machines don't mix. There you go.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
See, that little laugh is always better than getting, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what
I understand ghosts don't like crowbars either. Something about steel.
Yep.
Black steel. They just don't like it. I don't know what it is.
No. Dave, you are incredible. Our 1,500th show was a four-parter, two-parter. And that's a great way to celebrate our 800th show. Sometime next year, we expect to hit show number 1,000.
Wow. No wonder I have all these gray hair.
Maybe.
Just think if we would have started this on February 21, 31, whatever the leap year day is.
Yeah.
We'd only be a year old or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you divide your age by four. Your actual chronological by year age by four.
Yeah.
Or a leap baby, I believe they call you, if you are born on Feb 29.
Yeah, yeah.
What, kind of a rip-off on your birthday presents, you know? It's kind of a rip-off.
Yeah. When that happened, they should have gone, all right, we need to rethink the calendar. Get the slide rule.
All right, so tomorrow we're being cast away, just thrown out. We're going to squeeze in two programs, CBS Radio Mystery Theater and an episode of X-1, and we're going to try to squeeze it in 90 minutes because it starts at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, but it ends at 8 o'clock, and that's be just in time to get on over to the Twitches and listen to
Horrible Horror, starring Gar the Ghoul, if AT&T, agrees. We don't know.
Have the internet fixed?
Yeah, or if we pay the ransom to Pago Pago.
Yeah, Pago Pago. I think the commies are involved.
I'm telling you right now.
There's some Lithuanian activity going on. I don't know.
Could be,
you know. What's weird is, and not political or anything like that, but it wasn't that long ago in the Senate or the Congress or somebody said, "Look, it's going to be trouble." And then AT&T and several others had a little bit of problem this week.
Yeah, they did. Hey, I want to thank CW for also being part of our gang. Just couldn't break in tonight because of the phone issues, but I do want to thank her for being part of the crew here.
Yeah, a big part of the crew, and we ran out of time, so let's just do a different kind of a sign-off for you. You guys don't
care. Arrivederci. Hasta la vista. Adios. Adios, muchachos. Caballeros. Can you get out of here?
Yeah. Yes, we will. See you tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern. Bye-bye.
There you go.
Bye.
No Vince tonight. Sorry about that. We just got carried away and squeezed everything in.
Yeah. Well, I want to make sure we got a thanks in to CW.
Yes, very well done, Dave, because she has been a big part of the show.
Dave, in the messenger, she says, oh, my God, Dave, what does that mean? What is she talking
None of
about?
Your business. That's what it means.
Wait, I missed that one. Wait a second, I missed that one.
Yeah, it was right after that little thing that I posted there about donuts.
Okay.
Machete, duct tape, rope, donuts. Okay. Someone's going to have a good Friday night. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. Nice to see you. Nice to see you, too. Oh, my gosh. I was just talking to somebody about that woman.
Oh, that is the greatest scene in Blues Brothers. That is the greatest scene.
Oh no. I looked her up.
She would like float. She didn't walk. She floated.
Yeah, but
beat the crap out of Dan Aykroyd with a ruler. Well, both of them, I think. She kept whacking them both, I think.
I can't remember her name, Catherine Helm or something like that. But someone told me about an episode of I Dream of Jeannie, and she's in it. And they said the name, and it didn't register. I didn't know who it was. And they said, Frumpy Secretary. And I was like, huh? I was like, I thought that they took, like, you know, some, like a barber, like a model-esque woman and tried to make her frumpy. And then I went to Internet Movie Database, and I was like, oh, geez, oh, it's her, yeah. Frumpy.
Kathleen Freeman.
There you go. Yeah.
She was a great foil of Jerry Lewis in a lot of his 50s movies. So it was great seeing her as the mother superior for the Blues Bros.
Blues Brothers. Yeah. Yeah. Well, she was a great – she was a
– Jake and Elwood.
But I didn't know who it was, and then I saw that. I was like, oh, God, okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, now I know.
That was I love that movie to death. It was good music, and it was good comedy.
Yeah. But if you're expecting to see, like, I can't think of her name, the redhead, Margaret, I can't think, or, like,
Carrot
Norma?
Top? No. Different redhead.
Margaret, she was in a movie with a puppet Margaret. She fell and broke most of her body. They put her back together, and she was in a movie with Elvis. Oh my God, what was her name?
Oh yeah, the one that fell off the stage. What the hell's her name? She was a dancer, I think.
Yeah.
And an actress.
Yeah, she was in Old Man. Was that it? Dirtier?
No,
Dirty
hold on.
Old Man? Dirty Old Man. That's not it.
All right, we'll just, I'll know it in a minute.
Burgess Meredith.
No.
Yeah, he was in a movie that she was in.
So it had
remember.
To be early 60s, right?
Grumpy Old Man. There we go. Grumpy Old Man. And in it is Anne Margaret. Anne Margaret, yeah.
Well, Anne Margaret fell off the stage. That's part I didn't know about. I didn't know Anne Margaret fell off the stage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She fell off a platform and fell like 30 feet and broke most of her body, and they put her back.
Hello?
Yep. Uh-oh, we all lost Gar. Oh, no, he's not going to get back in either.
No, he won't get back in.
Hold on, let me just get this for the listeners in the archives. Let's see what we can find about her injury. Rapid rise of stardom. Hold on. Grumble, hold on. Critical acclaim, supporting roles. Was it her?
I don't know. Would you find? I mean, look it up, man.
I'm not seeing anything about her accident on Wiki. Maybe it's not her.
That's right. I hadn't heard. Oh, yeah. She fell 22 feet from an elevated platform to the stage and suffered injuries, including broken left arm, cheekbone, and jawbone.
Yikes.
That was on Sunday, September 10th of 1972.
Ah. There it is, yeah. Meticulous facial reconstructive surgery that required wiring her mouth shut. I know what that's like. And putting her on a liquid diet. I know what that's like. Unable to work for 10 weeks, she returned to the stage and almost back to normal. That's incredible.
Yeah.
You see how abnormal I turned out. That's, wow. Mine was from an auto accident. Busted my jaw. The jawbone actually cracked in half. So they had to wire it back together so it would fuse.
I warned you about messing with married women. Yeah.
Yeah, the married men don't like it a whole lot. But that's just amazing. That I find that incredible. Anyhow,
yeah.
Dave, everybody left us or couldn't make it in, so maybe, just maybe.
Well, buddy, here's to the next 1,500 shows.
There you go. And 800.
The next
800
that we put together.
Yep. We can do it.
We can do it.
We got enough radio, it appears.
Absolutely.
Or I should say you do, because you do all the programming. Your knowledge has been incredible in theming these up, which it makes it very easy for me to play off of and be creative and run with whatever you bring to the forefront here.
No,
and it makes the show flow and everything go.
It just gives me the opportunity to play with some things in a radio format that I haven't done since the old Weirdness Radio ended in 1984, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got a lot of radio behind you, my friend.
I got more than that behind me, but we'll stick with radio.
Radio. Rumble. Yeah. No details of your sordid past. I'm kidding. Sordid. This is the most clean-cut guy I know as well. Compared to me, anybody's a saint. But let's move on and wrap it up, and we'll do this all again tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern.
We'll cast away and be there tomorrow.
Yep. See you, folks. It's time to bring out the great one, the only, the schnoz.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's
There he is.
And it's time for toodaloo. Horrible, up we the thing, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Well, whatever you are.
She's the first industry this week. What a follower.
And now, folks, it's time to say good night. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.
Drink them up and drive home safely.